Thank you all for coming back to the Rav Kook Shir. I think this is the 13th session, if you count the 12 from last year. So most of what we did last year was more, I guess you would say, global topics in Rav Kook. We did a lot about Zionism as a whole, about cosmic movements, about religious Zionism, about Eretz Yisrael, about Am Yisrael. So I think it was Ellie's suggestion that this time around, if we are focusing on Rav Kook, then maybe focus on some of the more internal, pnimi, avodas Hashem, personal elements in Rav Kook. But there's a lot there as well. It's not necessarily as studied in the religious Zionist world, and maybe in the Veld as a whole. But it's something that's also very, very important. And particularly, I don't know how many shiurim we're going to have before Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But if we're talking about tshuva and Rav Kook, there is a lot about cosmic movement and the world advancing towards Geula and Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael and things like that. Hey, Aaron, how are you? But there's also a lot of very, very, I guess, I don't know, deep is the right word, very, very profound avodat ha-nefesh, inner work that he talks about in Orot HaTshuva. So I want to take one topic and sort of run with it and expand it out of Orot HaTshuva. I feel a little bit bad because there are tons of major themes in Orot HaTshuva that we're not going to be focusing on. I think I wrote in the WhatsApp group that I've given shiurim on them in the past, I think even in Mishkafayim, or different places in Ramah Beis Shemesh. They're online. Other people have written amazing stuff. They're amazing shiurim about Orot HaTshuva as a whole. So I figured over here, maybe we could do something a little bit different and take one topic and expand it out. But first, let's anchor what we're going to talk about in Orot HaTshuva itself. So Orot HaTshuva, Perek Tetzvav, Halacha, Piska Yud Alef, writes as follows. When you forget the essence of your soul, when you forget, when you divert your mind from focusing on what's happening in your inner world, everything becomes mixed up and everything becomes doubtful. But tshuva hareishit, the first initial tshuva, that immediately lights up the darkness, you have to return to yourself. El shoresh nishmato, to the root of your own soul. Umiyad yoshuv el elokim, al nishmat kol nishamot, v'ilach yitzad hala ma'ala ma'ala b'kdusha v'tara. So this is one of the major themes in Orot HaTshuva. In Orot HaTshuva, he talks a lot about tshuvat ha'olam, the world that's doing tshuva, and tshuvat Am Yisrael is doing tshuva. But every once in a while, you get to one of these passages where tshuva, which again, traditionally understood, is sort of breaking yourself and recreating yourself. There are parts of you that are just bad, and parts of you that you just made mistakes, and you have to sort of purge them out and then recreate yourself. I think Rav Rambam writes in those Lashanos, or Soloveitchik famously, but Soloveitchik picks up in those lines in the Rambam and talks about how tshuva is a process of recreating yourself. Rav Kook doesn't believe in recreating yourself, he believes in finding yourself. Everything is already there within. The pure soul is already there. The problem is that we get very distracted by the outside world. We get distracted by life, by our responsibilities, by our commitments, by everything around us. And we're mesiach das from the tochiyut ha'chayim ha'pnimim shamasmo. We don't pay attention to what's happening inside. So the first tshuva is just to pay attention to what's happening inside. I have an inner world. I have a gut. I have a sense. I have intuitions. I have inner desires. And just to sit with that and be comfortable with that. Then that's going to clarify a lot of the dilemmas that we have through our life in terms of what to focus on and what not to focus on. Then it goes on to say that's not just true about individual people, it's also true about nations, and this is how he ties it in to a more global process of tshuva about the tshuva of Am Yisrael as a whole. So the first tshuva then is almost like forgetting about Hashem. Return to yourself, sit with yourself, think about what makes me tick, what do I like, what don't I like, what are my values, and then eventually, Rav Kook is convinced, you're going to get to Hashem, because the deepest part of the neshama is chelak alaka mimal, and once you're in touch with that, of course, you're going to end up doing Torah mitzvos, which I think is something we discussed last year. This has many, many ramifications on tshuva. It's ramifications on the mood of tshuva. If you're returning to yourself, the overall mood of tshuva is going to be one of serenity, one of harmony, one of peace. It's not going to be one of misery. It's not going to be one of friction. It's not going to be one of suffering to the nth degree. Those things do appear in Orot HaTshuva, but very consciously, to a much lesser degree than in some earlier Sfarim. If you open up Rabbeinu Yonah Shari Tshuva, he has Yagon, misery, Tsar, Charata, as Ikari HaTshuva. the more yagon you feel, the more daigo you fear, the more you feel that you are constantly reliving your mistakes. And he has very, very vivid descriptions of what it should be like to constantly think about your mistakes. That is an indicative of the purity of your tshuva, according to Rabbi Noyona. And it's a very, very heavy sefer. If anybody has gone through it, for Rav Kook, again, that those elements of tshuva are there, but the overall texture of tshuva, the overall emotions of tshuva, are much more, you would say, positive, much more joyful, much more serene, much more harmonious. You're returning to yourself, and that is a picture that is much, happier than the picture Rabbi Noyona paints. One ramification of this is you look in source number 2, Rav Kook writes as follows: Hatshuva kanma li'olam. Tshuva precedes the world as a whole. Lefika koyisoda olam. Therefore, it is the foundation of the world. Shlimutam shalachayim hidavka hemshekit gautam apitiv am ha'atzmi. The world should reveal, everything in the world should reveal itself, should manifest according to its natural course, according to the way God created it. Tshuva is something that precedes the world. What that means, we're not going to get into right now. But tshuva means that everything should proceed according to its natural course. Over during the year, we sort of divert ourselves from our natural course, as opposed to assuming that sin is natural and a life of Torah mitzvot is unnatural, which is what some of the Bali Musar seem to say. Yitzhar leif ha'adam ra min urav. People are just bad, and they have a lot of yitzharas. Therefore, it's natural to a certain degree to go in different directions. Rav Kook is a firm believer that no, Elokim asas adam yashar, like Rav Kook writes. God made people straight, but people mess themselves over. And part of the tshuva process is getting back to your teva. If you look at the underlying part, Rav Kook writes, Uvitul etzem tibyusam shalachayim, nullifying, canceling out the naturalness of life, kideishi adam bilti chote, so that a person will stop being a sinner, zeu atmo chet yoter gadol. That itself is the greatest sin. What's he saying over there? Sometimes you want to do tshuva, so you sort of erase yourself. You sort of cut off parts of your personality. You have certain interests. Let's say you have an interest in sports. An interest in sports has gotten you to be watching, I don't know, to stay up at 3 in the morning to watching... What sports? Football. NFL games. Are they on now? Have the season started? I don't know. Whatever it is. Maybe. At some point. So that is something which you might, in theory, you want to do tshuva for. If you stay up till 3, 4 in the morning watching NFL games, and then you're very cranky the next day, you don't do your job properly, and Shulchan Aruch says if you have a day job, you can't stay up too late because that's a breach of your contract because you're supposed to be fully present at your job. It's an fascinating thing in Shulchan Aruch that actually says that. If you're a Torah teacher, you shouldn't take on another night job because then you're going to be asleep. You're going to be tired when you're teaching the kids the next day. So maybe staying up to 3, 4 in the morning every Sunday night to watch football is not necessarily the best thing in the world. But in order to do tshuva for that, you cut off that part of you entirely. That is bitul tibyusam shalachayim. According to Rav Kook, that is the... You're canceling a natural part of who you are as a person, and that itself is a chait, because tshuva is to bring yourself back to your true self, and an interest in sports, interest in competition, and those types of things are a good part of life that can be used for good purposes, and therefore canceling that out is going to be a chait. He has a nice pasuk, v'chiper alav meshar chata al nefesh, by the Nazir, he has to do tshuva, he has to get kapara that he sinned on his soul. Achashar chata al nefesh, he sinned against his soul, he was mevatel a part of his soul. So we see one theme in Rav Kook in Orot HaTshuva is just the notion of return to your inner soul. So this has many, many, many different ramifications in Orot HaTshuva. One of them is the return to childhood. I think many of us here are parents of small children. I guess we have a grandfather of small children. We spend a lot of our time around small children. I'm not going to define what age that is. And it's fascinating. Being with small children can be absolutely unbelievable. It can also be absolutely frustrating. But Rav Kook really, really takes this time period of childhood, and he emphasizes it. He talks about that childhood, as we're going to see, is not just a preparatory stage for adulthood. We shouldn't view children as mini adults, as blank slates that we're supposed to just like give them information and wait for them to grow up and be mature. There is a value, and a very important value, in the perspectives of a child and the experiences of a child, in watching a child interact with the world, and watching a young child interact with people around them. And something gets lost when we transition to adulthood, and we lose that type of perspective. And Rav Kook is going to define that perspective of childhood in various ways, describe it in various ways, obviously in Rav Kook style, so it's going to be pretty hard to concretize, but I think all of us that deal with young children on a regular basis have a sort of an intuitive sense of what he's talking about. And then we're gonna see that it's a very valuable perspective. We have to integrate that into our adult lives. It's part of the Shorash Neshama. It's part of what Rav Kook defines as the nature of the soul. But that's almost like the first revelation of the soul before the mind and social constructs sort of get you confused. But at the same time, childhood is not enough on its own because children are easily manipulated. They obviously can't control their taivos. They can't control their emotions. There's a lot of not just good stuff about young children, as I'm sure we're all aware, but part of the Shorash Neshama, Rav Kook described, part of the Teva of Neshama, the naturalness of the soul, is that perspective of a child, which we have to integrate into our adult life with all the sophistication and the guards and the things that we gain as we get older. So let's look at a couple of passages where Rav Kook describes childhood. First, the positives of childhood, and then some of the things you have to be careful of if you're a child or dealing with children. So Rav Kook writes in source number 3, Shem Shmona Kvatzim Zayin Reshei. Ha'olam nechazer achari chachmot. The world is chasing after wisdom, after wise things. Havanot v'yediot mekudadot. After deep comprehension and very sharp knowledge. V'sof kosof ikar nekudat achayim sovevet al ha'atid. But in any functioning society, one of the main things they're worried about is the future. On the chinuk shel ador, right? What is a major topic in every election in America? Education, educational policy. People are always worried about chinuk of the future. V'chinuk hu tipo biladim b'ktanim. And chinuk means you're dealing with very young kids. V'ufik sichlam halu kokach haya. But the horizons of their seichel is so, what's the opposite of bright? Blurry. So blurry. Until all of our sophistication doesn't approach them at all. And I think there's something which maybe you experience as well. You know, you think you're so smart. You think you're so wise. You're doing X, Y, and Z in your work. And all of a sudden you come home and like you have to deal with like a 3-year-old. And they don't care about the fact that you just had a successful or non-successful day at your job dealing with sophisticated ideas and numbers and X, Y, and Z. They're just 3. And they just care about whatever they care about. And Rav Kook says as follows, what's the lesson from this? Ulai tshvikim anu ladak mizeh. Maybe we have to learn from this. Shebemet, source number 3. Shebemet lo chachma v'diyah rabbah hi masharat totanu. Maybe all this wisdom, all these wise things, all this sophistication is not actually what makes us happy. Ela hatom shel hayaldut. What makes us happy? The wholesomeness of childhood. V'zeo ashreinu. And this is our, meaning our Jewish perspective, this is our happiness. We as Jews are very invested in the chinuch of our children. It's cultural, it's religious, it's part of what makes us a Jewish society. And what does that indicate about us? That we value not just children as young adults, we value children as children. We value childhood and childhood perspectives because we sense that the tome, that the wholesomeness of a child, that perspective when they go out into the world and they see a butterfly and they're just like filled with wonder, or they know something's not fair and they just like blow up because it's not fair. This is not fair. And they don't understand the sophistication, the nuances, the differences, whatever it is. That perspective is a very valuable perspective, and that perspective, this wonder that the children have, is something that makes us happy, and that's why we're so invested as Jews in the chinuch of our children, in dealing with our children, despite the fact that our major sophistications and things we do in our jobs and things like that don't matter at all to them. Hakesher hazeh levado, hu kvar oseh banu et roshem hishkashrut im yaldut, in tmimuta. This notion that we are so invested in the chinuch of our young children, this leaves an impression on us in terms of the value of the child perspective. Ve'ezeh zerem shel tmimut over gam keim aleinu mazaleh pekarvenu. And this notion of tmimus, of wholesomeness, of wonder, of creativity, of not caring about what other people think, whatever you associate with childhood and children, that is something that impacts us as well. And obviously, Rav Kook is saying this in a very positive way. That is what's ma'asharet otanu. That's what makes us happy. That's what brings us back to that tiviyot, to the naturalness of the soul. Rav Kook has this notion in many, many, many different places. Look at source number 4. Shemona Kvatzim Zion, source number 3, something he wrote later on in life. Shemona Kvatzim Aleph, he wrote when he was relatively young, probably a father of young children. Rav Kook writes, Anu tzrikim tamid lahatzkel mirosh. We always have to start from the beginning. Merishit makshavot shel hayaldut. Whenever we're thinking about something, we should always try to get back to that childish perspective. Devarem lo zakakam. And then we have to clarify it, we have to purify it. and to bring out the inner light of that perspective. In little as also among Shavuot HaPshutot, we shouldn't degrade these simple thoughts. Sometimes that simple child perspective, which we had when we were kids, you know, we love God. God is like a father in Shemayim. And then we learn philosophy. We learn X. We learn Y. We learn Z. You know, it's all good. It's all true. But in terms of the pure essence of the soul, sometimes that initial childish perspective is not something to be grown out of. It's something to be clarified. It's something to be channeled. It's something that we need the sophistication. We need the better ideas about God. We can't always act in the world as a child, but it gives us the beginning of the idea, and we should never lose hold of that, because once you lose hold of that, then all you're left with is the sophistication, and then you're losing your neshama. And Rav Kook writes this not just about the notion of
just refocusing on the basis of your lofty iterations of what God is.
Yeah. Say it again. I'm sorry.
Meaning you're going back to the Yisod. It's like almost a review of what the Yisod is.
It's a review of what the Yisod is, and we're going to see maybe he said it already. I just missed it. It's more experiential, right. Meaning. Kids don't care about ideas. Like, I don't know if you have this experience. Your kid asks you about how something works or why something is something. And by the time you're in, like, half a sentence in, they're already on the next topic. They just don't care. I mean, sometimes they care, but more often than not. So what do they care about? They care about the way they feel. They care about experiences. They care about, you know, new things. And you just go with kids on trips. It's just like the... Obviously, there's the frustrations and the crying and the time in the car, but the wonder they experience when they get to a new place, when they see something for the first time, is unbelievable. And we're going to see, Rav Kook is going to describe that is the first experience the human soul has with the outside world. We, adults, come to it with sophistication, with constructs. We see X and we put it into some type of box. Because it's useful to go through the world in that way, because that helps us understand things, it helps us have jobs, it helps us not make mistakes, it helps us say the right things in the right times, because you need to do all those things. But there is something to be lost if you're only doing that, and you're losing that experience of a child. So it's both the yisod and also the experiential element, which I think he's focusing on. In source number 5, Rav Kook goes on and talks about this in terms of being an idealist. It's like sometimes it's hard for grown-ups to be an idealist because you're always. What does it mean to be an idealist? It means that you are fully dedicated to a certain value, to a certain idea. If you're a grown-up, you're always able to double-think yourself. You're always able to say this has to be balanced out by that, and this is maybe it's not true over here. Maybe yes, maybe not. But there are some bad people involved in that. If you're a child and you're into something, you're just like into it. You get obsessive about it. And Rav Kook says, we're going to see this in the next piece, any time you're fully dedicated to an ideal, which Rav Kook is going to be a positive thing, means you're tapping into your inner child. And then, if you want to advance that ideal, maybe the childish perspective is not going to be helpful, but you need an adult perspective to help advance that ideal in the world. But in order to tap into that idealism in the first place, you really have to have that childish perspective. Think about how obsessive children can be about the simplest things. You just have to take that obsession and take that focus and take that, you know, this is amazing, and channel it to something that's more meaningful than Lego or baseball or whatever else kids happen to be into at any particular moment. So Rav Kook writes as follows, source number 5. Hachushim mitzpatzkim b'yela lefi havana. A child's senses develop based on his understanding. Kadeshi kaneis yisod olam b'tilchuyuto b'lo ziyuf shel tzalim shkotzer das adam gramam. Lefnei havana. Chushim are senses. I misread the first line. Chushim mitpaskim b'yelad lefnei havana. A child's sensory experience of the world, their experience of the world, develops before their understanding of the world. Why? So that the actual world itself should be taken in by them, and not what Rav Kook says, the tzlalim, the shadows of the world. What does that mean? Look at the next line, second line. Ragas ha'olam ha'originali, muhrachu l'kabel. The child gets the original world, b'mekoro, in its original source, b'li biurim, without any explanations. L'gamer v'hadar lisbir, first to learn and then to understand. V'az yeshli yisod naki amal v'aseisa et ha'avana. And then upon that experience, you're supposed to build your understanding of the world. And then he goes on, he describes it over and over again, that you experience the world first, and then afterwards comes the understanding. Look at the underlying part. What relevance does this have for us who are grown-ups reading this? Kol hitzmakrut tivit le'izze idzeyal merumam. Any natural hitzmakrut, you know, liot machur in modern Hebrew is to be addicted to something. So any natural, I don't know if the word he would use is addiction, any natural obsession, any natural dedication you have, le'izze idzeyal merumam, to some elevated ideal, hare hi chazara eliyaldot. That is a return to childhood. Yishkan tfisat musag b'imbili hakara. You have this vision. You have a concept. Like, I care about X, Y, and Z. You don't necessarily always understand what that vision is. You don't always necessarily understand all the ins and outs of it, but you're dedicated to a certain value. You're dedicated to a certain ideal. Rak mipnei tekivah pnimit. You have this inner drive. Haba'am mimikorot she'ein yad adam mesiga otam kakara. Which comes from some place that's deeper within you than recognition, than understanding. Ve'adot hazot tzricha shmira mipnei pegayim. And this childishness, but it needs preservation. It needs guardings from damages. Ha'ulal is davigla, which could eventually be connected to it. Why? Because if you're just dedicated to things, you're easily manipulated. You could start caring about X, Y, and Z. You could easily be led astray. You could be totally. You need sophistication to be able to know what the right ideals are, what the right ideals aren't, the right way to do things. But the fact that you are machur, the fact that you're addicted, obsessed, you are dedicated to an ideal, is a return to childhood. Now, Cook writes, top of the next page, Hitzorut nafshit nikiya be'etzem ateva hatorah shel nefesh, the pure arousal of the soul, which is the pure essence of the soul coming out, tzricha l'yod nervetzet. It has to be admired. It has to be revered. Avol be'irim psulim me'avli goyim shemitzchabrim yima tzrichin li'pasel. But the puzzle explanations from the foolishness of non-Jews that are connected with it, meaning to the childish perspective, have to be puzzled. What do you think he means by that? So I haven't seen anybody write about this. He's talking about the value of keeping a childish perspective when you become a grown-up, and the fact that children experience the world differently than grown-ups. And he says that notion has to be revered. But the puzzle explanations that the non-Jews give to this idea, the childish perspective, has to be puzzled. My guess, I don't know, is that he's talking about early psychology. He was reading some early psychology. We have evidence of that. And what is one of the notions that Freud brought into the world? That children really experience the world in a fundamentally different way than grown-ups do. But for Freud, he took that yesod, he took that Einfeld, and he took it in a very, very perspective, very, very specific direction, which Rav Kook thought was possible. So Rav Kook is saying, there's something new in the world. Like, the fact that a childish perspective is different than an adult perspective, and children view the world fundamentally differently than grown-ups do, and they start doing all this left-brain, right-brain research in terms of what part of your brain is activated most when you're a grown-up. It's the left side of the brain, I think, is activated more. When you're a child, the right side of the brain, which is more the right side of the brain, I think, I hope this is still true. This is the research I read a couple years ago. The right side is more like emotions and colors and music and stuff like that. The left side of the brain is more like logic and language and math. That side of the brain gets activated when you're thinking about those things. So children are more right hemisphere oriented. So the fact that children view the world differently than grown-ups do is something which is a very kosher idea. And Akuk is saying that's an important perspective which we have to take into account. But the specific explanation that the Havli HaGoyim give to it is something that's puzzle, and you don't have to go that far, but the Yesod is a good Yesod. Ma'al Teven Esabar, it's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu, that's how we end up this piece. Ma'al Teven Esabar means what the Teven is like the good thing that you want. Bar is like the chaff, the bad stuff which you don't want. Like, why are you mixing the good with the bad? So Rav Kook, it sounds like he's saying, again, I don't know if this is true or not, but it sounds like he's saying is that these early psychologists have stumbled across, or they brought into the world a very important idea, but they are mixing in all these negative spins on it. So we have to take the actual idea and leave their specific explanations. Just Agav, again, this is post Rav Kook, but maybe I should have prefaced with this. This notion that childhood is a time of purity, a time of idealism, a time of wonder, a time of tmimus, and that's something which has to be revered and kept as you go into adulthood, this is not necessarily the image of the child that always existed in Jewish thoughts. Like, if you look at the Rambam, again, I tried to see if anybody wrote about this. I'm sure somebody has. But when the Rambam speaks about children, it's almost, the point, times I found, it's almost always in the context of people that just are just like not educated. It's like people that are just like, they're dumb. They just don't have the intellectual capacity to understand things. So your job is to like educate them and to like give them true knowledge. And it's ketanim together with Ami Haaretz and also with Nashim because in that time period, women also were uneducated. So there's not like reveration or revering the childhood state. It's like you have this like kid who's like doesn't have the mental capacity to like do the right thing. So you have to like give them a candy to trick them to do the right thing, to guide them to do the right thing. And eventually you can teach them the right values and the right ideas about life. In Hasidus, you start having these ideas. I mean, in Rishonim also, you really have starting to have these ideas about childhood as like a state in and of itself, which is important, which has to be revered. And I think Rav Kook is building off of those makaros. But also in the 60s, there was this French sociologist. His name was A-R-I-E-S. I forget. I don't know how to pronounce his name. But he wrote a book, which I'm forgetting the name of the book right now. I should have checked it up. It's pretty easy with Google, but I just forgot to check it up. But he wrote a book where he basically tried to argue that childhood is a social construct, and in the medieval times, there was no such concept as like a child. They were children just like young adults. They were just like adults that couldn't do so much, but they were really treated as adults. They had responsibilities, they had chores, their clothing was very similar to grown-up clothing. And the whole notion that they like view the world differently, we have to treat them differently, like didn't exist. They were just pressured like young adults, and they grew as they grew more like adults. But the fact that we in the Western world have this construct of like a child is different than a grown-up, that's a construct that got developed over time as like we have more money and we don't have to force kids to work so much and things like that. That I think was roundly disproved using medieval literature itself because there are these proofs. I'm not holding on this, but in medieval literature they do treat children as like a separate chafza, not as like young adults. But either way, this is where Rav Kook is coming from. That these discussions do exist in the world. And Kook is like, no, children are fundamentally different than adults. They view the world differently. And that's important because Hashem made it that we have to be children first before we become adults, because there's a certain value in the perspective of a child which we have to take with us into adulthood. In the next piece, we're not going to read it inside. Source number 6 is a letter Rav Kook wrote to Moshe Zeidel. Moshe Zeidel was one of Rav Kook's early and major Talmidim, with lots of letters to Moshe Zeidel. Moshe Zeidel ended up getting a doctorate in Semitic languages. I think he taught at YU for a while, then taught here in Israel. I think he passed away in the 70s. Not crazily long ago. But he has a bunch of letters to Rav Kook. Rav Kook is responding to him. And apparently Rav Kook sent him one of Rav Kook's early kuntrasim about something or other. And Moshe Zeidel responded, like, I understood a lot of it, but some of it I didn't understand. Rav Kook writes, don't write that he didn't understand a lot of. There's some points he didn't understand. Because the points he didn't understand, whenever you're talking min halev about Zavara Merumamim, about Kabbalah, there are going to be parts that are more experiential. And that means you're tapping into your inner child. It's like a fascinating thing. Look at the third. Rav Kook says that when you're talking about, you know, the Sodos, talking about Kabbalah, whatever it is, there are going to be parts that even if you're a smart person, you're just not going to understand. Look at the third line after the period. Val pi rov dafka az. When you hit a point in a Kabbalistic text which you don't understand, only then hinenu shavim ledavar b'tmimas pshuta. Then means you're going back to your tmimas. You're going back to your childish wholesomeness. Tmimas shalyaldas tahora. Min pi olim b'yon kim yisar to'oz. V'chol mi yishu medaber dvar me'omek nashmaso. At some point, if you're talking meomek nishmaso, talking about emotions or Kabbalah, what pnimius nefesh, whatever term you want to use, the reader is going to at some point not fully understand, but they might experience the vibe or the ruach of the words, and that is return to childhood, and that is an important experience for the reader. So just know, Rav Kook told Moshe Zeidel, when you're reading things I write, realize there's going to be some things that you're not going to understand, but that's fine. That's the way it's built in. Those are the points that you can tap into your inner child. I'm sure you've all experienced this also. Sometimes kids just don't understand what you're telling them. They don't understand what they're reading, whatever it is, but they get the Ruach HaDvarim, they get the vibe, they get the experience. That's like by Hakel, that the men come to hear, women to listen, and the children, what does it say? I forgot what it says, but something about experience. It says for gifts schar to people that bring them, and somebody says it means to be most of your etchmaim in them. Two more pieces and then we'll stop. It's a similar type of idea, but just a different spin on it. It's an Einaya and Shabbos, verse number 7. The Rav Kook is talking about the Gemara that differentiates between Simcha Shal Mitzvah and Simcha Sheinah Shal Mitzvah. The Gemara says that Shibachti Niyas HaSimcha, Shlomo Malk says, I praise Simcha, and that refers to Simcha Shal Mitzvah. So Simcha about good things. But Simcha Mazu Osa, the Shlomo Malk of the Saint, a couple of Pesachim later, or earlier, deride Simcha, that's talking about Simcha Sheinah Shal Mitzvah. That's Simcha about Stam things. So Rav Kook, again, Rav Kook has a very long piece over here. I even skipped part of it, but you, if you want, you can skim through it. I'll just say it outside. Rav Kook writes that Simcha Shal Mitzvah has to be built on Simcha Sheinah Shal Mitzvah. So when you're a child, you get happy about things. You just like, there's a natural happiness about things. The things could be shtriot. Things could be meaningless. It could be Lego. It could be baseball. It could be some things which don't matter in the long run. But you get very, very happy about those things. Rav Kook says that is Simcha Sheinah Shal Mitzvah. That's fine. You're a kid. But you have to take that experience of Simcha Sheinah Shal Mitzvah, and as you grow older, don't lessen the emotion, don't lessen that experience, but just like transfer it, channel it to things that might be more meaningful. And that is why the Gemara transitions from Simcha Sheinah Shal Mitzvah to Simcha Shal Mitzvah, because you have to go through from one to the other. And Simcha Sheinah Shal Mitzvah, which is for an adult, wouldn't necessarily be the ideal. For a child, is great. That's the way God created children. They just have this natural affinity, this natural love, this natural simcha, which, again, they don't always walk around with, as I'm sure we all know, but they walk around with from time to time as they experience the world. And that simcha is amazing. But as you get older, you have to start channeling it in the right direction, as opposed to leaving it in its childishness for guided towards things that are simcha, Sheinah Shal Mitzvah. And just to conclude, Rav Kook, again, it's more of the same ideas, but just to show that Rav Kook spoke about this a lot in terms of the childhood perspective. And you have to realize, Rav Kook was a genius. It's like, he knew all of Shas, Shaka Vatari, Balpeh. It's like, from a very young age, he was outshining his tutors. Like, he was a real, real legitimate prodigy. You don't really find so many of them around. He was like a legit prodigy. He learned the Gemara, he remembered it, he was able to sit for like 17, 18 hours a day when he was in Vilazhen. He knew Shas Balpeh. It's like, not word for word Balpeh, some of them say he knew Shas, Shaka Vatari, Balpeh. That's an amazing achievement. Read through his Chuvos, he was clearly a genius. But at the same time, he was clearly struggling with the fact that, like, he didn't want to lose that tmimus that he felt like he had as a kid and that he felt he saw in young children. And that's why you see this coming up a lot in his writings, this back and forth between sophistication and ideas and havanos and textual learning, and all these things were super important, but not losing that inner child as a core in terms of the shoresh and neshama. So source number 8 is where he ties a lot of these ideas together. Rav Kook spoke at drasha be'es Chanukas be'es Talmud Torah Berachovos. There was some type of children's school, some type of cheder be'es Talmud Torah that opened up in Berachovos, and they invited Rav Kook to speak at the opening ceremonies. So it's a long speech, not a crazy long speech, but a long speech. And Rav Kook writes, I just excised out the main parts for us. Rav Kook writes as follows. It's not where he started, but he gets to this pretty quickly. We always ask the following question about childhood. What do we think about when we think about a child and education? What is a child? And they were trying to educate. Is a child just, like you're clearing a chakira? Is a child just a young adult? You are like, no, you are an immature growing up. Or there is inherent value in being a child. You think about avodah and parnasa as the main goal of life, career as a main goal of life. In the yaldos, zuchos mitzad atzma. The childhood doesn't have any value. But the child's raw material that you're able to mold into a money-making machine. And that is, unfortunately, perspective, which I guess some people have. Maybe that's why the rate of childbirth is going down in many Western countries. They don't necessarily see the inherent value in children. That's not the true perspective. What is the value in life? Not avodah and parnasa, not career, but life is valued based on its purity. I don't know what nimsach means, but based on the good, the goodness and the kindness and the wholesomeness that is inherent in the life. It According to that perspective, childhood is not just a heksher, not just a preparatory stage for a mature adult. It is an important life stage in and of itself. But the famim in a time was talat etzlenu b'tzur ha'mu'ulash b'tzukvat ha'chayim. From a certain perspective, a child is more elevated than a grown-up. That it is valuable for us as grown-ups to help facilitate the existence of children and the support of children, because the tohar, the tome that children exhibit, again, when they're on their good days and when they're in their good moments, is something that is inherently valuable in and of itself, and that is something that makes the world run. And therefore, it's incumbent upon us to help facilitate and help create those types of environments and those experiences for our children. Then Rav Kook goes on to say that is the purpose of Jewish education. That in yes, we have to teach our kids information. We have to teach them Torah. We have to teach them the mada for a career and things of that sort. But at the same time, one of the goals of education is to try to give the kids those experiences of Tohem and Tohar, Tzmimus and Tara, so that those are part of them as they go forward, and it becomes an inherent part of them for the rest of their life. But then Rav Kook writes, I look at the beginning of the next paragraph, the underlying part, Amam Tova Yaldut Noe Kedushahi. The greatness of childhood is very, it's beautiful, it's kadosh. Aba Holohi Gam Kin Chavusha. It's also very weak. It's not going to let you stand up against the waves of life, the pulls of life, which are only getting stronger. As much as the sophisticated adults. Because when you're an adult, you actually understand the value of those things. You understand the framework around it. You understand, you could base Torah mitzvos on ideas, on values, on sophistication. And then you have what it takes to stand up against the Zerem Hazman, to stand strong in your ideals. A kid, as I'm sure we all know, they're very wishy-washy, very very easily manipulated. You make them believe one thing today, something else tomorrow. They might exhibit a lot of tmimus towards that thing that they believe, but they're very easily manipulated. And therefore, Cook says, it's not enough just to let kids be tmimusik and tahar and whatever it is. You have to teach them. You need to give them information. You have to give them sophisticated information according to their age, but at the same time, making sure that it doesn't cover up the actual tmimus kite and the tara of children. So just to summarize, Rav Kook is not the only one in Jewish history to speak about childhood in this way. I think I just passed Rav Amos on the way here. Everybody's invited to the Chai Elul for Rengin on their way out. It started at 9. I think Rav Jovi's probably speaking around now. But the Rabbi Trevi also, tons and tons of talks to children, about children. And one of his major themes was that each demographic has inherent value in and of itself. You can't think of children as just a preparatory stage to get to adulthood. They have a koach that adults don't have, and therefore you have to speak to them as independent people. Obviously not 3-year-olds, but ready 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds, run programs for them, speak to them as independent people, empower them to do what they could do, which grown-ups can't do, and make sure that grown-ups don't lose sight of that, and grown-ups, through their interactions with children, are able to take some of that, are able to take some of that tmimus into their own lives. The Gemara in Shabbos says, Al tigu b'mshichai, Elu tinuko shabbis rabba, and don't touch my anointed ones. The Gemara says, that refers to young school children. The Baba Sharbi said, why is Mashiach associated with school children? Because Mashiach means the full revelation of the soul. And of all the entire human population, which demographic has their soul most revealed? Children. Obviously, there's good parts of the soul and bad parts of the soul, and you can't just have childhood, but this is something that the Baba Sharbi certainly shared with Rav Kook. But just to take it back to where we started, if part of the goal of Erot Teshuva, part of the goal of Elul, part of the goal of Teshuva is to return to the Shorash HaNeshama, so part of the Shorash HaNeshama is the way the Neshama experienced the world when it was first born, without the constructs around it, without the sophistication, without the ideas, and that means a return to childhood. So I think it's a bracha for many of us. I think everybody here in the room, we all get to interact with young children on a regular basis. It could definitely be a point of frustration and time conflict with many other things in our life. But I think one thing, according to the book, which we could gain from it, is just soaking in that child perspective and being trying to integrate that into our own lives, into our own avodas Hashem, and that shiluv between adult sophistication and childhood purity hopefully will lead us to tshuva shlema and return back to our shorash neshama, like Rav Kook wrote in the first piece. Thank you so much.